Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You for giving us day by day our daily bread. We thank You for leading us not into temptation, for delivering us from evil. We thank You for loving us even before the world was. Quite humbling, to say the least. We thank You for Your word and how that You have preserved it down through time. And You have magnified Your word above Your name. We thank You for faithful men who stand to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. We pray again, our God, for those whom we have mentioned earlier who are battling with various diseases, from general sickness to COVID, pneumonia, cancer. And we ask, our God, that You would have mercy, raise up the sick from their bed of affliction, draw nigh to them in this time of trials, bless them to know the nearness of Your presence. We do ask, our God, that You would heal our country, that You would give good and honest, yea, godly men to reign and rule over us. It seems that there's all sorts of wicked and perverse people that are in authority, and how that they not only allow perverse and wicked practices to transpire in the land, but they encourage and participate in it. Yes, someday they will give their account to Thee like we. They will not escape their ungodly practices. And as they treasure up wrath against the day of wrath, unless You have mercy upon their soul, they will no doubt in eternity suffer greatly because of their boastful and prideful ways. Bless us, our God, to realize and know that we're no better than they, and if there's any difference, it is simply because of Your grace and mercy. Now we pray that You would bless us as we continue in our study. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. If you have your Bible, turn back to Revelation chapter 17. Last time we started on this, and it's been a while since we did so. So I'm going to go ahead and read the chapter. I think I read it the last time, but I want to read it again to familiarize ourselves with it. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So it starts out and it talks about the great whore, the woman sitting upon the waters, And then at the conclusion of the chapter, it tells us that the waters are, in other words, the people of the world. And so this woman, this whore, this mystery Babylon, it tells us that, as we saw, that it's a city. And we see that the world powers, and we're going to look at some of this in more detail, but I'm kind of giving an overall summary, that the world powers and the world leaders are going to give this city, this great power, to rule over the nations. And so, you say, well, how do you know that this is what it is? Well, I believe God, when He said what it is, said the woman is a city. Said the city's on seven hills. And so on. But we'll look at that further as we come down through the chapter. And the idea of this woman committing fornication is the idea, we looked at some of this last Lord's Day, or not last Lord's Day, but a couple of Lord's Days ago. But anyway, we looked at that and showed that this idea of fornication of nations is the idea of world powers involved itself in league with the devil and also with just a filthy lifestyle. And we can see in our own nation how it is slowly turning. It has been for a long time, but it has become more and more seems like it's increasing with accelerated rate, not only within the world, but also within the house of God, so to speak, with this COVID. There have been a lot of congregations that have put their worship services in the electronic media through Facebook and YouTube and things of that nature. And in watching that, it is amazing at the act, at just watching a congregation. It's not uncommon that when prayer is being made, that people are talking. Some are thumbing through song books and looking at, and doing things of that nature. Preachers are shuffling their notes and getting ready to preach, and just all kinds of activity going on during prayer. Much less during the preaching of the Word of God. You see that in the house of God. There's just this lack of reverence that is generally going on. I remember as a child, when you walk into the house of God, you gave it your undivided, your best performance, if you please. And so you could see the deterioration within the congregation. Recently, I went to a funeral, and there were two ministers that were had part in the funeral, and 99% of what they said had to do with the individual and how they worked and some of their idiosyncrasies and so on. And there was several points made where everybody was laughing and so on. very, very, well, 1% may have been Bible. It's just a common, you know, and one of the statements that made said, why is it that we want to, you know, naturally they put the man in heaven, and he may be, I don't know that, I didn't know the man that well, but the point is that, and we'll all be glad to go with him, and why is it we want to go, how is it that we want to go? And why is it that we want to go? Because we love our loved ones and want to be with them. Nothing said about Christ. Nothing said the only way you'll get there is by the blood of Christ. And things of that nature. So, you see the abomination of desolations working not only in the world, but within organized religion under the guise of Christianity. This is nothing more than, well, I will say this, I'll go ahead. Used to when people went to funerals, they usually were dressed up. There were people there with women with extremely short shorts on. The common practice in the house of God today is more and more women with their slacks and young folks with their shorts and cutoffs and things of that nature, and preachers in their casual attire. In other words, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Fornication. It won't be long till we very possibly, in what's called church services may be performed no more than what the temple prostitutes were in the days of Christianity. It's sad. And when you see that congregations meet together and they have their parties for their young folks and they wind up going off in their dating systems, and we can see the rate of illegitimate children and divorces and things going on, I guess it's a wonder we're as good as we are. What I'm trying to say is, this is not just by accident. This is not just by accident. And so you see this woman that was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She was all decked out, all dressed up, ready to entertain those that would give attention unto her. Even having a golden cup in her hand that's full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. In other words, false worship throughout the scriptures is likened unto committing adultery with God. And when you see all of this false worship that's going on, and all of this political correctness among so-called houses of worship, this is the abomination. This, in other words, you're seeing Antichrist working within. And this is nothing new. John said in his epistle that Antichrist was in his day. And we have Antichrist in our day as well. And in verse 5 it said, upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The saints of God have the name of God written in their foreheads. We've covered some of this before, but look back in Revelation chapter 7. And we look at a few other places. God has His people, and His people follow Him. In Revelation 7, and in verse 3, notice that it says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. God has His people marked. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Jesus said, you'll find it in John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. When Jesus was before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, then would my servants fight, but my... Well, I just went blank. Let me turn to John 19. There's a statement there that flew out the window. John 18, excuse me. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And then notice this. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And we've already seen in Revelation 13:8, where all that would all would fall down and worship the beast and the false prophet, except those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we saw it, which we read here in chapter 17 just a few moments ago in verse 8, where it talks about all those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life do not worship the beast, nor the false prophet, nor the image, and things of that nature. And so while Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and that she has those that follow her, God's people, they are, God knows them, and they will not follow this antichristian system. The followers of the beast have his number in their foreheads or in their hands. We saw that and back in the 13th chapter. It's the number of man. We're talking about 666, which is the number of man. So, we may not be able to distinguish in every case who is and who is not the Lord's, or who is not following the beast and all of that. But God does. God knows. And you can rest assured that God's people will not follow after this mother of harlots. Why? Because God has said so, and because God will work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. Along this same line, in Revelation 3, when it's talking about the overcomers, in Revelation 3 and verse 12, "To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." In connection with that, in Revelation 22, as we come to the end of the book, in verse 4 he said, well, let's start off in verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Beloved, God has you marked out. He not only has you marked out, He had you marked out in eternity. Aren't you thankful that salvation is of the Lord? Aren't you thankful that He is the one that keeps you? Aren't you thankful that He has kept you until this hour? And therefore, whatever the future holds, you can believe that He will keep you then. Now, recently, an individual that's battling cancer, we made mention of earlier, he had overcome cancer a few years ago, but had come back on him. But I heard recently that his testimony was, whether God heals him or not, he is excited. And having good fellowship with God. You see, as we've said many, many times, and if you've heard not only from me, but many others over the years, you don't need dying grace until it's time to die. And you won't need persecuting grace until you're persecuted. I look back on my life and some things, and I wonder how in the world I made it. It was only by the grace of God. But I made it. And I continue to wonder, am I going to make it? But I believe by the grace of God I'll make it. This woman, this mystery Babylon, this mother of harlots, in verse 6, this woman was drunken with the blood of the saints. And the blood with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. While there were persecutions in the early days of Christianity under the Roman government, it was not anything like a wholesale slaughter of believers. And when you read about some of the things that took place in that day, particularly Nero and Caligula and some of those, it was pretty bad. But it wasn't a wholesale slaughter of Christians. during the Roman Inquisition, some years later, it was a larger scale of persecution under the power of the Catholic religion. If you want to have any enlightenment on that, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It is astounding what people under the name of religion did in order to try to force people to take on their religion. And if they did say they took on their religion and recanted from the religion that they had, as soon as they converted to Catholicism under torture and pressure, many times they were still put to death to keep them from what they considered falling out of salvation. Everything from extreme torture to cannibalism was practiced. Certain forms of cannibalism was practiced by the Jesuits and so on. However, what we're talking about here in Revelation, in the time of the Great Tribulation, it's going to be greater than anything that has ever been before. Look at Daniel chapter 9 as it talks about it. Daniel chapter 9. We'll just read verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of the abomination and the oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. As Jesus speaks about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in verse 15, he says, "Ye shall see the abomination." And it's going to be so great that it would not be anything like it before. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was a picture of it. And it's discussed in this chapter along with, I believe, the end time. I was looking for another verse in here. My eyes don't fall on it right now. Yes, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, this tribulation is going to be greater than anything has ever been on the earth. And it talks about the blood of the martyrs. And it talks about the blood of the saints there in Revelation 17:6. And I'm going to read a statement that George Ladd said about that. I thought it summed it up pretty good. No distinction can be made between the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. They are saints because they belong to God. They are martyrs because they have shed their blood. In other words, it's just talking about the same people. They were martyred because of their being faithful to God. Being faithful to God. Look at Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now the woman in Revelation 12 is not the woman of Revelation 17. The woman of Revelation 12, if you remember, is the woman from which our Lord came. But the dragon makes war with this woman, or the remnant of her seed. In other words, the dragon makes war with people that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is who the world persecutes. This is why, as a society begins to degenerate, as we have seen in our lifetime, this is why a society more and more turns itself against the truth of God and the gospel of God and the people of God. It's the age-old war of the devil against the Lord. Of course, we know who's going to win in the end. But it's still that age-old war. In Revelation 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19. In verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, now notice this, that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophets. In Revelation 20, in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But what we've been trying to emphasize this all throughout the book of Revelation, but we see it here again, that even though there's going to be great persecution, and even though you have the mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the great whore, and all of that, God's people remain faithful. God is going to take care of you, dear saint. And even if you have to give your life, you will not lose. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But far better than that, eventually your body will be raised and you will be reunited with your body and be in the presence of God. You say, how do you know that? You haven't seen this. You've never experienced that. Do you know anybody that's ever experienced it? The only one I know is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe Him. And whatever, however this woman is going to be materialized, however these kings are going to be materialized, whenever all of that is going to be, I don't know. But I do know this. God never leaves nor forsakes His people. And this is one of the things that we're seeing all the way through the book of Revelation. And when God tells me that a woman is a city, and He tells me that the waters are peoples, then I'm not to say that the water is something else other than the population of the earth. And I'm not to say that the city is, that the woman is something else other than a city. You say, which city? Is it going to be New York? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Rome? Well, Rome more looks like it than any other. But I can tell you this, all of these cities will emulate it. Look at all the great cities of the world. Not only just the United States, look at the great cities of the world. They fit. They fit. And look at all the nations of the world. What do? They set themselves together against the Lord and His anointed. Ultimately, we're going to see that all of these nations that set themselves together and are in league together, even with this woman, eventually they're going to turn on the woman to destroy her. In other words, Satan's kingdom is going to implode in on himself. Why? Because God is God. And Satan himself, as you know, and we'll get to it as we come further into the book, will be cast into the lake of fire. The beast will be cast into the lake of fire. The false prophet shall be cast into the lake of fire. And everyone whose names are not found written in the book of life of the Lamb shall be cast into the lake of fire. And you're going to see a new heaven and a new earth that'll make the most spectacular view upon this earth today look like nothing. And I've seen some pretty spectacular views. One of the things that comes to mind are some of the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Tetons. I saw some of the outcroppings of the Cascade Mountains. Some of those things are spectacular. But what was I looking at? A sin-cursed earth. Those that have seen the Grand Canyon talk about the greatness of it and how spectacular it is. But that's erosion. That's where the earth was eroded away. We had lived on a farm. We had gullies and ditches that we finally got filled up and were able to make crops in them and grow grass over it and so on. But then there was others that would come up. Erosion. I've got places in my yard where I've cut down trees, and when I cut them down, the stumps were even with the ground. And some of those stumps that were even with the ground stick up 4 and 5 inches now. And I've only been living there a little over 20 some odd years. That's how much erosion has gone away. You never notice it day by day, but over the years you see it. But we're looking at a sin-cursed earth. Someday we're going to see one, a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwells what? Righteousness. There won't be any crooked politicians then. There won't be any crimes and all of the other stuff that goes on. There won't be any deaths. There won't be any sicknesses. There won't be any sorrows. You know what? You're going to be satisfied. You won't want a thing. Today we want various things. We might want something new. We might want better health. We might want to get rid of some pain. We might want this, that, or the other. You won't want anything then. Well, I don't know how I got off on that, but it's a good thought, isn't it? This woman, I believe we were looking at, she was drunk with the blood of the martyrs, and how that, even though that we were going to be faithful. And anyway, John marveled at the woman. Notice it said in last part of verse 6 and the beginning of verse 7, "And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" Now, he wasn't, I know the word admiration is used, but it wasn't the idea that he was thought how glorious she looked, like I was talking about admiring, say, like the Grand Tetons and things of that nature. She was a wonder. And as we read this, does it not cause us to wonder that God would allow such a thing to happen? You know, I was thinking recently about different people and why different people suffer various things and why others do not, and this, that, or the other. And I just said to the Lord, "Well, Lord, I have no idea why one person goes through something and another does not. I don't even know why I go through some things. I may think I do sometimes, but we don't know those answers. We don't know those answers." But the angel declared the mystery of the woman. And the angel declared the mystery of the beast that carried her. And the angel declared the mystery of the seven heads and or the 10 horns of the beast. Notice him. He said, "Wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell thee." I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. Now, are we going to believe the Bible? The angel tells us in the book of Revelation, "I'm going to declare to you what this mystery is." And we can't make up something different than what the angel said. The beast Notice, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit or out of the abyss and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth, that is the earth dwellers again, you remember, shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Let me pause here for just a moment. Why is it you like some things that others do not? Now, I'm not talking about why you may like peas and somebody else doesn't. But why is it that you like godliness and you don't want to be around ungodly folks? The reason is because God has made you different. I'm around people sometimes, even family members that are used. You would think they would have more respect to use some of the language that they do in my own presence. And frankly, people, when they do that, I don't want to be around them. I don't enjoy being around them. I don't like to hear that language. And probably, if I made much of a fuss about it, they'd just make more of it. You know, I remember when I was working for the government and I was working with some other folks, and this back in the 60s. My children say everything I talk about back in the 70s, but this was back in the 60s. There were times that some of the men would let out certain words, and they knew I was a minister, and they say, and they would, at least they would apologize and say, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean that. And I'd say, well, it wasn't my name that you insulted, it was God's. That's who you need to apologize to. And when I sometimes would do something that maybe I got mad about something, or I don't know, I can't think of anything right now, but sometimes they said, oh, look at you, look at you. I said, yeah, I'm a sinner, just like you are. And the only hope I have is Christ. I didn't try to say that I was some super Christian, because I sure wasn't. I'm not anymore. I mean, I'm not now. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But this beast, well, I don't think and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. The woman, and we'll see this more as we go down through the rest of this chapter, and we've said this before, but we won't say it again. In verse 1, this woman is sitting on many waters. In verse 7, she's sitting on a beast. In verse 9, she sits on seven mountains. In verse 15, she sits on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So, we can summarize this, I believe, that this beast, we know, is the devil, or is being engendered by the devil, whatever the beast is. And it sits on seven mountains and sits on peoples. In other words, it's talking about and giving descriptions of the world of the ungodly. It's the world of the ungodly. Whether it's the beast, which I believe will very likely be visualized in a person. I believe this woman will be visualized somehow in a city somewhere on this earth. But either way, it is constructed in such a way that the world population goes after it. And it is a leader. This woman is a subtype of a leadership, a world, religious world particularly, which also includes political and economics. But it's a mega power that is involved in world domination. I think somehow what we have heard in our lifetime of a one world government or a one world order or a one whatever, you know, you hear these politicians talking about it. Whether they understand or not, and I believe they understand far more than you think, but even if they're ignorant of what they're saying, Satan is in the background stirring all of this up to bring it all together. To bring it all together. You say, well, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. Well, Satan has always been on a conspiracy against God. So whatever you want to make of it. Verse 1 also shows her relationship with the world, and verse 7 shows her in a limited capacity. But the interpretation of this woman is given, picking up in verse 8 and going throughout the rest of the book. But we'll stop here for now. Let us pray. Our Father, regardless of how this woman, beast, kings, hills, cities, regardless of how all of that is materialized, we may have our individual ideas and opinions, which we try to avoid some of that and just stick with the text as much as we know how to. But how all of that is going to be manifested, we may not be able to say, and we can't say. But this much we can say. You will keep your saints. And we thank you for this thread this scarlet thread that is interwoven throughout the book of Revelation. Is to encourage the saints until the coming of the Lord. Thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.